am so glad that you guys are here tonight. We are in week two of a series called Him Plus Her. And I want to remind you of why we're doing a series like this. This series is not meant, the intention is not to make you feel uncomfortable. The intention is not to create awkward moments, if you will. But we believe that it's important, right? It's important for you to understand biblically what the Bible has to say about when it comes to friendship and relationship with the opposite gender. Now, if you were here with us last week, you know that we kicked off this conversation. And what I told you is that this is a series of three conversations. And last week was the conversation number one, which was all centered on friendship. That I would say the best decision you could make in middle school when it comes to the opposite gender, right, is that you focus on friendship. You focus on friendship. And so tonight is all about the progression of that. And we move on to the next conversation. And that conversation is dating. Now, let me remind you guys that there is a text number. There is a number that you can anonymously text. It's going to come on the screen. And it is a number where you can text in questions you have. Maybe there's questions that you wouldn't want to ask them out loud, but you would be willing to text them in, right? And so you are welcome to do that. Some of you have already done that, which is awesome. Some of you have already texted in some questions, and hopefully the answers you've received have been helpful for you. They've been helpful for you. So feel free to text in your question to that number, and I would love to make sure. And here's the promise. If it's a genuine question, you'll get an answer. If it's a genuine question, you will get an answer. If it's a question that's just supposed to be funny, then you're not going to get an answer. But if it's genuine, then you will get an answer, all right? Now, before we move to the second conversation, I want to say this from the top. I think it's important for us to understand and remind you that, again, the best and most wise decision that you can make when it comes to someone of the opposite gender is to focus on friendship. And I understand that not all of you agree with me, and that's completely cool. I understand that. I don't take any offense to that. But I want to explain to you, again, like we talked about last week, right? In these 3 years, you are going through a world of change. And it's wise to eliminate the pressure that comes with dating. See, when you get into this dating area of your life, or you open up that chapter of the book of your life, right? There's a lot of pressure that comes with dating. For example, you always want to put your best self out there. You want to impress the other person, right? You want to look your best. You want to act your best, you know, and you don't want to be embarrassed. You don't want to embarrass yourself, you know. You guys, how many of you have ever had a fear of you know, going out on a first date and maybe you trip on the sidewalk and fall and bust your head open, you know? That'd be terrible, right? Yeah, so think about this. If you eliminate altogether the pressure of dating and you say, you know what, I'm going to take the advice of M12, and for these 3 years, man, I'm just going to focus on friendships with those of the opposite gender, then you take away so much pressure that the world puts on you, that society puts on you, social media, your friends, maybe even some of your family members. But if you say, you know what, I've decided to be wise. I've decided to make the most important decision. And you know what, man? I'm just going to be friends with people of the opposite gender. Now, for some of you, right, I can think of times in my own life being out on a date where I was afraid to embarrass myself or do something that was, you know, that would make the other person laugh at me or whatever, right? And I actually brought an example of this, so I want you to check this out. That's awful, right? Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. Here's the best part. Did you guys see the guy in the back seat? The guy in the back seat was just totally grossed out, man. He didn't know what to do. He wanted to roll down the window. Now, I'm sure none of you ladies would ever do anything like that, right? But think about this. Listen, stay with me. When you get into dating relationships, a lot of pressure comes with that. So if you allow yourself the freedom, if you allow yourself the freedom of just being friends with the opposite gender, then what happens is it removes the pressure. Now, I know that some of you would say, and some of you will walk out of this room tonight and you will say, you know what? I'm going to date anyway. And because some of you, you know, you've had that conversation with your parents, they let you date. They don't see a problem with it. You don't see a problem with it. And that's fine. That's completely fine. I'm not here to change the minds of your parents, right? And so that's why tonight is so important, because this is what I want to do. I want to give you a statement that I think when it comes to this chapter of your life, I think it will completely change the game. It will completely change the game for you. So I want to give you a statement that we're going to rally around for the rest of our time, right? And then at the end, I want to take some practical thoughts. I want to look at dating in a very practical way and give you a male perspective and a female perspective on the subject. I think it's important. So here's the statement. I'd love for you to write it down the top of your outlines. You can fill in the blank. Here it is. Make sure when it comes to dating, make sure that they love God more than they like you. I want to repeat that. Make sure that they love God. Thank you. You don't have to clap. Hold your applause, please. Make sure that they love God more than they like you. Students, this is huge. This is massive. I would tell you the single most important factor in a relationship with someone of the opposite gender, right, is this. It is to make sure that God is most important. It is to make sure that they love God more than they like you. They love God more than they like you. But here's what happens. Is in the world that we live in and the society that we're a part of, a lot of times this gets overlooked. A lot of times this gets kind of ignored, if you will. The most important factor in any relationship with someone of the opposite gender, the opposite side of the room, is this factor. And a lot of times we just simply ignore it. We simply look over it. And I remember a couple of months ago, I think it was the night of the movie at Christmas time. I was talking to some girls on, you know, here at M12. I won't tell you who they are. And we were just having some conversation. They were talking about their boyfriend. And I was like, after we kind of bantered back and forth and had a little fun together, I was like, well, let me ask you this question. Does he love Jesus? Does he love God? Hey guys, stop doing what you're doing and be respectful. Thank you. So I asked the question, does he love Jesus? And this is what she said. She looked back at me, kind of confused, and she said, I think so. Students, if you have to ask yourself that question, if you can't tell whether or not they love God more than they like you, it's not the best thing for you. It's not the best relationship for you. You've got to make sure that they love God more than they like you. Now, a couple of months ago, I was in the main service, and I was listening to a sermon from our senior pastor, Kevin Myers. And PK said some things that as I heard what he said, I thought to myself, the girls and the guys, all of us at M12 have to hear this. Now, I want to give you a little context. PK was preaching a sermon that centered on the person of Mary. Mary being the mother of Jesus, right? And he was talking about her relationship with God. He was talking about how important her relationship with God was. And here's the coolest part, is that he talked about that she, very early in life, probably about the age of some of you, she determined and decided that the most important relationship in her life was going to be God. Now, guys, I know that a lot of what PK is about to say is directed towards ladies, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't apply to both. Because everything that he's about to say and everything that you're about to hear, it applies to both sides of the room. So listen well, listen intently, and check this out.
And in the midst of this, I think, Mary, if anybody has a chance to step up and say, I had to choose who and what I would treasure. I think Mary has earned that. She was very young when she determined that she would treasure God over a guy. And as I sat with the 10 women, chatted with my wife, sat inside this story, I think it's true that it's a modern-day temptation for women to put a guy before God. And the cure, the solution, is to find your sense of security, identity, and somebody in God first. And if you find that in God first, then you won't have to get that from a guy. You won't even have to get that from your husband. If you will find that in God first, if you will find your identity, if you will find your security, if you will find your sense of somebody wrapped up in who God is and who he made you to be, you won't have to go get that from a guy. And when you have to get that from a guy, you become desperate. And desperate is blind. And desperate usually does dumb. And we see it all over the place in our culture, and we know it's true. We just hardly talk about it. I know some women are going to say, I would never find my identity security in a guy. I know no better than that. And you've moved on to something else. But some of you find your security, your identity, and sense of somebody in your body. And the culture celebrates that and encourages it. Or find your identity and sense of somebody in your career. Or find it in your possessions. The point being, I think Mary would tell us, is anything other than in God is going to leave you soul empty. In fact, I think she'd step up and say, listen, you are a child of the king, a daughter of the king, which makes you his princess. Don't be anybody else's princess first. His princess first. You settle that in your soul, and you will have amazing freedom in this world. You don't. And often unknowingly, your desperate will cost you greatly. Because the only constant in your life is going to be God. Know this. Mary would reveal, listen, early on, the one who knew her best was her God. And before she ever met Joseph and had the arrangement, God was with her. And God was with her all the years that she was with Joseph. But if you know her story, you know that sometime by her 40s, she was widowed. And she watched her son, Jesus, suffer through the crucifixion without Joseph at her side, but God was with her. The only constant in her life was God. He's the only constant in yours. You better find your identity, your security, and sense of somebody in the only constant that you will have in life.
Something he said that I love. He said, anything other than in God is going to leave you soul empty. I want you to sit in that for a second. I want you to think about that. Anything other than in God is going to leave you soul empty. That is the way that God created us to be. As a matter of fact, I'd love for you to write this down. God must be at your core. God must be at your core. The Bible says it like this. It says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. See, that is exactly what PK was referring to. He was referring to that verse. He was talking about that verse. And this is something that Mary, girls, that Mary settled probably at your age. That she settled in her soul that the single most important relationship that was going to be in her life was her relationship with God. Because anything other than in God is going to leave you soul empty. empty. And the same thing goes for you guys, that the single most important relationship must be my relationship, your relationship with God. And what did he say? He said, you've got to understand that God is the only constant. That you find your security in God. You find your identity in God. And you find your sense of somebody in God. And when it isn't like that, when that isn't the case, then everything else is not going to be the way that God intended it to be. It's going to be messed up. It's a lot like this picture. You guys have seen this picture before. And it's a picture of, let's just say, relationships in our life. So when I say that God must be at your core, at my core, this is what it looks like. All of this encompasses every relationship, whether it's a friendship, a parent, someone you're dating, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, wherever you're at in that chapter of your life or wherever you're at in your life, this encompasses those relationships. And understand that the single most important one is your relationship with God. But here's what happens is a lot of times in middle school, the pressure of dating, the pressure of girlfriend, boyfriend, the pressure of what social media and society and music and movies, all of that culminates. And what begins to happen is, let's say there's this guy named Johnny that you guys like, girls, and there's this girl named Jana. Those are cool names, right? And what happens is very, very quickly, without us even recognizing it or knowing it, right, we take Johnny and we put him here. Or we take Jana and we put her there. And what happens is exactly what PK was saying, is that we have taken a person and we put them where only God can belong. That we've put expectations on Johnny and Jana that only God has the ability to fulfill. And when we look to this relationship and it's not fulfilling us the way that we think it's supposed to fulfill us, then we just move on to the next one. This is so true and it's so real. And understand, students, that until you understand and until you apply that this person that you're interested in or that you want to date or that you want to call your boyfriend or your girlfriend, that they have to love God more than they like you. Because if they don't, then this is what's going to happen. They're going to put you at a level in their life that you cannot fulfill because only God can. Only God has the ability to meet every single need that you have. He is the only one. That is what it means when I say that God is the only constant. Students, if you could just apply this. And so many of you, you overlook this truth. You go for the most popular kid. You go for the best looking guy or the best looking girl. You go for the one that everyone thinks, oh, wow, you're dating him. Oh, wow, you're dating her. Wow, you're super cool, man. She's awesome. He's awesome. Well, does he love Jesus? I think, maybe. Well, does she love God? She's really cute. But we do this. We do this. I've done this. I'm guilty of this. And we take the most important factor of any relationship and we kick it to the curb. Students, if I could just encourage you, it would be to understand that you must love God more than you like someone else. And someone else that you like, they must love God more than they like you. And let's just be honest. I'm not telling you you're too young necessarily. I'm not telling you words like immature, but let's just be honest. Most of us cannot figure this out while we're in middle school. It's just really difficult to figure this out while you're in middle school. And that's why I caution you and say, wait. Wait to date. As a matter of fact, that's kind of the do of tonight. The applicable statement is just simply wait to date. Wait to date if for no other reason because of this picture. Wait to date until you are so in love with God that that love that you have for God can never compare to any like that you have of someone else. And for most of us, we're not there yet. And that's okay. It's normal. It's understandable. You know, I love TiVo. TiVo is one of the best, I think, inventions of life, right? And I love it because you can watch a game and you can, you know, fast forward through all the stupid commercials that they have now. And you can, you know, fast forward or rewind a play and watch it over and over again, like I did with Dez Bryant when he caught that pass against Green Bay Packers. And yeah. Listen. Stay with me. There are other important things. But here's why I really love it. I love it that you can pause. You can hit pause, you can go to the bathroom, get some food, get some snacks, come back, you've not missed anything. And honestly, that's what I'm encouraging you to do. I'm encouraging you to hit pause. Some of you, you'd say, yeah, I got a boyfriend, no big deal. I got a girlfriend, no big deal. We're dating, we're going out on dates, whatever. This is my encouragement. Hit pause. Hit pause because there's no way you've figured this out. Instead, take your middle school years, and when you have the conversation with your parents, when you open that chapter in the book and you start dating another person of the opposite gender, if you've taken years of your life to make sure and to focus and to be intentional in your relationship with God, to say, ladies, that the most important relationship is my relationship with God. God is my constant. And the same thing for you guys. Then what you're going to find is when you begin to open this chapter, that you are going to be in a much healthier place. And that's the best place to be for yourself and for anyone else that you're interested in. Wait to date. Remove the pressure. Take the pressure away of having to impress, of having to do something or be someone or go into areas of your life that you're not ready to go into. I'm just being honest with you tonight because I think it's important. But in a room like this, I know that some of you, you would say that you are dating. You have a boyfriend or you have a girlfriend. And maybe perhaps after hearing this and being exposed to some of the things PK said, maybe you would be willing to rethink that. I'd encourage you to. But for those of you that would say, you know, I am there and my parents don't think it's a big deal, cool. I want to give you some practical thoughts. Because a lot of times we ask questions that aren't important, and then we ask questions that are important. So for the next few minutes, and you can write these in the boxes on your outlines, feel free to write down words or things that come to your mind. But what I want to do is I want to give you my perspective, and then I'm going to play a video after each one, give you a girl's perspective. The first one is this, when do you date? When do you start dating? I think it's really, really simple. I think it's not in middle school. I've already told you that. You guys know how I feel about that. You know that's what I believe to be true and healthy and right. But this is what I would also say. I would say that the answer is different for everyone in this room. And the reason why I would say that is because some of your parents have different thoughts and beliefs and things and convictions that other parents don't. And so I think the most important thing that you can do when you're ready to start opening this chapter of the book, right, is that you can first talk to God, And secondly, go talk to your parents. Because again, you can't expect for God to bless any kind of dating relationship if your parents don't know about it. I mean, the Bible says, honor your father and mother. Some of you guys, maybe you are guilty of sneaking around and doing things you shouldn't do without your parents knowing. God's not going to bless that. God's not going to bless that. The Bible says it like this. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask God, who gives to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. When it comes to opening this chapter of dating, I would encourage you, when you're in high school, to begin asking God about it. Ask God to shed light on it. Ask God to help you know when that is the when is the right time for you to open that chapter. Now, for a female's perspective, I want you to check this out.
The question is, when should you start dating? Well, my parents had a rule when I was growing up that we weren't allowed to date until we could drive. At the time, I didn't like this rule at all, but over time, and now looking back, I think it's a great idea. I think it's awesome. When I was in seventh grade, I had the biggest crush on this boy. Biggest crush. I liked him for a long time. So when we were in seventh grade and eighth grade, we just hung out in groups of people. Our friends, we had a group of friends that all liked to hang out. They were all good guys and girls, and so we never really were put in compromising situations or anything. Our parents were friends, so our families hung out a lot together. And then, so this crush developed, and then whenever I could drive, when I was 17, we went on our first date. So it made sense all at that point, because at that point, I had developed a friendship with him. I knew who he was. I could trust him. He could trust me. And by the time we went on an actual date, we had a really good friendship. And I think that's the best way to go. I think if you know, if you're looking to find out what you want in a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and you think towards dating, your friendships that you develop now are an awesome foundation for that. And they help you to see things that you appreciate in the opposite gender, and when they're kind and selfless and people that you want to be around, and they're kind to all of your friends, not just you. And you see that when you're developing a friendship with somebody. So I think in seventh, eighth grade, even starting in sixth grade, there's really not a point in trying to rush into dating somebody, but really focus on the friendships. I think it's the best way to go.
Let me give you a thought. When you love God more than you like someone else, when they love God more than they like you, two words to maybe keep in mind is time and memories. And see, students, the reality is it takes time. It takes time, right, for you to develop significant memories with someone of the opposite gender in your life. And you don't want to begin that clock until the right time is there. So you want to talk with your parents, you want to talk with God, and I would caution you to at least wait until you get into high school. The second question is this: who? Who do you date? Who do you look for? Who do you look to date? You're going to talk about this some tonight in your small groups, but I would say this: a Christian. Someone who is leading themselves spiritually. Someone who you don't have to guess, or you don't have to wonder whether or not they have a relationship with God. If you wonder, if you're not sure, that's not a good place for you to start. And most of us in middle school are still trying to figure this part out. And that's okay. We're still trying to figure this area of our life out, and that's completely normal. And the hardest person to lead is yourself. Guys, do you know that when marriage comes your way, the Bible tells us as men, right, that we are to not only lead ourselves spiritually, but we are to lead our wife and our family spiritually. And we are not going to be able to lead someone else spiritually until we can lead ourselves. That's what this picture is about. It's about making sure that God is at the core, that God is in the place that he needs to be at. Now, for a girl's perspective, check this out.
When it comes to who you should date, this is my answer. You should date someone who loves Jesus more than they like you. This is what that looks like. Someone who loves Jesus is pursuing a relationship with him. And that means in their time, in their Bible study, and in their prayers, and their when they're coming to church and they're wanting to learn, there's a humility involved. Someone who loves Jesus will look at you as Jesus sees you. It puts on a whole new lens. So someone who loves Jesus is looking at you like Jesus sees you. They see you as a creation of God with a purpose and plans that he has for you and a personality that God gave you, and they treasure you in that way. Someone who doesn't love Jesus, and we know this, anytime you're not walking with the Lord, you're walking with selfish ambition. And so usually you see other people as what they can do for you. And so that's why I think whenever it comes to who you're looking for, look for someone who loves Jesus more than they like you. And then the opposite is the same. When you love Jesus more than you like somebody else, you're going to see them as Jesus sees them, and you're going to treat them as a treasure and as a creation of God with purpose and plans that he has for them. So I think it's the best way to go. Look for someone who loves Jesus more than they like you. And as you're in middle school and you're going towards this process of friendship and possibly dating and you're liking people and all this stuff, pray for your future. Pray for your future spouse. Pray for your future boyfriends or girlfriends and what that looks like and who they are, and as they're pursuing God and their relationship with him. I think that's the best thing to do in this phase of your life. Pursue God, seek him, and follow him, and pray for your future.
Yeah, that's good. Some good thoughts. Let me give you a couple things. Ladies, I would say someone that will treat you with honor and respect is huge. For you to look for someone who's going to treat you with honor and respect. And for guys, I would say someone who's going to let you be yourself. Someone who's going to let you be you. All of you. Right? Those are important things for you to look for when it comes to when you open this chapter of your life. And let me say this. We're going to leave out the last. And I want to talk to you for just a second. I want to remind you of what we've talked about. For you as an individual, it is so important that you love God more than you like someone else. And for you, when you start to open this chapter of the book and you get into dating, right, it is important that you choose someone who loves God more than they like you. Now, I understand that is not something that just happens. That's something that as an individual, you have to settle in your soul. You have to settle it, and you have to settle it now. And so what I would tell you, you're going to talk about this in your small groups tonight. What I would tell you is begin praying and asking God to get you to that place. Begin praying and asking God. Maybe even for you ladies, you could even pray and ask God, God, bring me to the place where Mary was at. Bring me to the place where the most prized relationship was the relationship that she had with God, is the relationship that I have with God. Because I can promise you, when you're at that point, it's healthier for you and it's healthier for the other person. Wait to date. That's my advice. Let's pray. God, we love you and we thank you so much for tonight. We thank you, God, for an example like Mary, the mother of Jesus. What an incredible example she is to us. And this is something that is so difficult and so challenging to deal with in our life, God. But I pray for these ladies and I pray for these guys, and I pray and I ask that you would help them to navigate this in a way that would honor you, in a way that would glorify you, and in a way that would draw them even closer to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.